3. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen.
Our second reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to him, her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Amen.
Our reading continues in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen.
Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, the visit of the wise men as they followed the star. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Amen.
Our final reading is taken from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. John unfolds the mystery of incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen.
We live in a society that says, if you want it, go after it. If you have a dream, fulfill it. Let's make every opportunity available to people to pursue what they would have thought impossible. If you have a particular way that you want to express yourself, express it. We're a generation of people that are liberal, open-minded. We're encouraging people to pursue expressions of individuality without any sense of constraint or restriction that have been placed on them in the past. We live in a generation of where so much is possible. Yet somehow we live in a generation of people who appear to be most unhappy, who are struggling with life, struggling with their identity, struggling with making sense of the world that they live in, if the truth be known. Perhaps this generation feels more fragile than it ever would have dreamed. Regardless of the possibilities that are open to it. In first year, I remember reading a little phrase that a sociologist had used. He said that a stable society needs two things, continuity and change. Change, simply because we need to be a people that adapt to the changing environment. We need to take initiatives. We need to be flexible. But he also recognized that for any stable society, there needed to be anchors. There needed to be moorings. And perhaps this is one of those occasions. When we consider how important carol services have become to a nation, most churches that are growing, developing, say that it is their fullest attendance in any year. Why? Because for many people, whilst they love the changes that they see, they cannot lose sight of the past. For you and I, there's something about this moment that is rooted in our very being. The Bible says that God has set eternity in our hearts. And no matter how much we try to shake it, or live beyond it, or try to eliminate God from society, you and I feel eternity in our hearts. We might not understand and articulate it in the way that so often has been attributed in the Bible, but it's there. We have not been able to shake it. We may only attend church once a year, but we're still there. I've got one word for you tonight taken from the Bible. And I want you to think about it just for a moment. It's the word vulnerability. It's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to recognize that you haven't sussed everything out. It's okay to admit that life batters you, and that in fact, regardless of all the efforts that you have made and advances that have been made, you still feel very fragile. That somehow you are struggling. That's okay. Perhaps even at Christmas time, it's more apparent to people the depth of their struggles. Particularly when they see a world around them clamoring for happiness and they feel so unhappy. Celebrating friendships and yet feeling so lonely. Understanding that in somehow it's better to give than receive, but it hasn't been reciprocated. They have neither been able to give freely nor receive freely. For them, they are trapped in a world with no way out. Yet, one person understands your vulnerability even better than you do. And I was just thinking about it. So simple, really. For unto you, a child is born. Now, if you were writing a story about God and about the fact that he was to visit this planet, would you write it in such a manner? that he was born into so humble a surroundings as a child, so vulnerable. I want you to think of that picture for a second. The God of all the universe, who holds the stars in space, was born into a manger, kicking his little legs, having to breathe as soon as he came out of the mother's womb. At that moment, he was fragile. A mystery of how he held the stars in space, yet was born a child that had to learn and grow. But one of the things that he was doing was not only depending on those around him, but on the Father who sent him. His life so connected to God the Father that even in his vulnerability, he was secure. Because he had a dependency on God that was to bring him through. If this Christmas time is to be a message of hope to any of us at all, it's that God loves us enough. Even when we cannot love ourselves, even when we struggle to like the image we see in the mirror, and no matter how difficult the circumstances become, this vulnerable child depended on his heavenly Father. For every breath that he was breathing, for every muscle that would grow, for every moment he would live on earth, he depended solely upon his Father in heaven. You and I, at this Christmas time, have a message that in our vulnerabilities, there is a God who loves us. A God who will give us the strength that we lack. A God who will assist us when we have no power to redeem ourselves or to restore what is broken. A God that will walk through the whirlwind and the pain and the trouble and the heartache, because he loves us and believes in us. This God sent his Son in vulnerability so that you could identify with his need of dependence on God. This Christmas time, this could be a world apart, that in all its changes, changing in it, one thing remains the same: God's desire for you. And that is not altered as every generation passes. He loves you so much that he wants you to find joy and fulfillment in him. You can this Christmas time, because no one loves you quite like he does.